It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hi, I'm Sylvia Moss, and this is Insight, a presentation of iHeartMedia, where we really do care about our local communities and all our listeners who live here. You know, we're all looking for ways to do better, to improve our health, our relationships, our job skills. After all, you can't put a Model T engine in a brand new Mustang and expect it to perform. And what about the people in our communities who help us to help ourselves? People like counselors and social workers. Every day they face domestic violence, drugs and alcohol, even poverty, and there's so many other family and community issues. My guest today is Vladimir Bosic. He is the founder and president of an organization known as Sound Community Solutions. The focus of his organization is to make sure that the folks who are helping those in our local communities better deal with and find solutions to such ominous issues by getting the most up-to-date and effective tools to support, well, really all of us. Vladimir, I can't tell you how excited I am to have you on the program today. You know, for a real long time, you've been in the center providing answers and support to people dealing with these issues like drugs and alcohol abuse and poverty. I want to ask you at the top of the program, what brought you to do the kind of work that you do every day? Like, why did you choose this career?
Hi, Sylvia. It's good to talk to you again. This career sort of chose me. This is my third career. I was a firefighter in the U.S. Air Force. I'm a disabled Vietnam vet. I went from there to go after the big bucks and got into the insurance business and did pretty well. And so this is my third career that I've been in now for the last 25 years of my life, which is basically social work. Because I've had some issues myself in the past, ended up being a victim of disproportionate minority sentencing and disproportionate sentencing of crack cocaine laws. I ended up in the big house and made some bad choices back then. Mm-hmm. But, of course, the deck was also stacked against me with what I just mentioned. But I learned some valuable lessons. And I've always realized that I wanted to give back and that my problems of the past have now become my platform for ministry.
Our tagline
here at Sound Community Solutions is that we are experts by experience. And I am the president and CEO, and everyone that I've brought on understands that and is that. While we all have the degrees, the certifications, and all those good things that you got to have, more importantly, we have the experience.
And there's no better teacher
in the world than life experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I get frustrated with a lot of young people who are ready to turn things around. They think they know what they're doing. Unless you've been there, you have no clue. You know, when we were talking about some of the issues that we're facing in all our community, I wanted to ask you, we've had things get better, some things get worse. But has the coronavirus had any impact on the issues facing here us in Central Pennsylvania from your experience?
Oh, absolutely. This pandemic has affected us greatly in so many ways. First and foremost, it's affected us in terms of the resources, the finances, because of the referrals that we used to get for services. For example, we used to, in 2019, at a height of our mentoring program, which we became the number one mentoring reentry program in the state of PA, where we were mentoring well over 200 men and women at one time in four of our locations. Because of the pandemic, we're down to mentoring about 30, 40 men and women at this time. The parole has gone down drastically in 2020, and that's across the board in the entire country. Just when it should have went up, and it was alleged that it was going to go up because of the pandemic inside the prisons, they stopped letting people out for a host of different reasons. So, yeah, the pandemic has totally affected us in many ways. We've had to go virtual with everything we do. And some services, you know, just really weren't meant to be virtual. You really need that face-to-face with some
one-on-one.
Folks.
Exactly.
And the people are telling us, man, we need to get back to where we can talk in a room again. So we are able to do some one-on-ones, you know, with the CDC guidelines and social distancing and wearing masks and all that. But it's definitely not the same.
Do you focus primarily on issues as far as the reentry services and things like that, or do you do work for?
We do basically behavioral health. That's the major part of the services we provide. So it does include substance abuse. It does include Thinking for Change, which is a mental health program, workforce development, parenting, family reunification. All of those are quote-unquote behavioral. They all come under the behavioral side. So, but it's for anybody that needs it, but we find that the people that need it the most are the ones getting out and trying to reenter society. Our goal is to try to reduce recidivism because as society, everybody hurts when another crime is committed. But time a crime isn't committed, everybody benefits.
You know, we talk about all kinds, including this justice issue, the way things are generational. Do you still find that to be the case?
Like in some ways, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of factors there, but a big piece is, for example, I had a young man who met his father and his grandfather for the first time in prison.
Oh, my.
Yeah. You can
so
imagine.
You know this inside and out. Where are we missing the boat? I mean, everything over the last 20 years has been focusing on prevention. Where have we missed the boat on this one?
Well, we really haven't done the job on prevention that we needed to. Most of what we've done is intervention. We are, as a society, so reactionary. We don't know how to be, proactive. We don't know how to be proactive. We try to close the barn door after the horses have already left. And that's the big issue. We don't put money into prevention as we should. The science is there. The research is there. We know the risk factors. But we don't do what we're supposed to do. We know the risk factors that can tell us when a child is going to go wrong and get into the juvenile justice system. For example, I bet a lot of our listeners have never known that for years, many governors of the states in this country can determine how many prison beds to build by fourth grade reading level.
Oh, my God, that's awful. It's good, but it's awful.
Fourth and fifth grade reading level can indicate and predict how many prison beds you're going to need. That's an easy fix if we only had the will to do it.
Yeah. How about the money? Is the money there?
Well, that's what's not there. That's what's not there. A justice reinvestment in Pennsylvania was passed years ago, I think it was 2013 or 2014. Excellent legislation. From my understanding, it was passed unanimously on both sides of the aisle. But they've never funded it like they needed to. The funding for justice reinvestment has never truly materialized. You know, maybe 50% of the funding that was identified as being needed has actually went to where it was supposed to go.
You know, I know you know so much about this. You know, excuse me, I recently read that the majority of the people who end up in prison are brilliant.
Often many are. The bottom line is, Sylvia, it's all about decisions. We've all made bad decisions. You know, I've often said, sure, and many people understand and know it's true, there's only two kinds of people. There's the caught and the uncaught. There isn't a third category.
Wow.
Everybody's made a bad decision in life. Everybody's done something. There's no perfect person out here. But some people pay worse for the same bad decisions that others don't pay at all for.
Well, I don't think that's ever going to change. You know, it's, I want to talk about, like you had talked about experience and why that is so important. But other things that you think about are important in dealing with these issues. Talk to me about that. And then I want to talk about some of the training that you provide.
Yeah, we do provide a host of trainings. One that I created years ago that I'm very fond of is called Cracking the Class and Cultural Code.
Yeah,
it's based on three bodies of science, work by Dr. Ruby K. Payne in her book, Understanding a Framework for Poverty. What I've come to understand as a trainer, I've been a trainer with DDAP, Department of Drug and Alcohol Programs in Pennsylvania now for years.
Mm-hmm.
They sent me all over the state doing trainings. And one training that most people have heard of is called a cultural competency. But what I've come to understand is that oftentimes the bigger difference in our society is class and not so much race and culture. We rarely ever talk about the class differences. We talk about the race and the culture, and while they're true and they need to be addressed as well,
yeah,
the big elephant in the room is the class differences, the differences between the poverty, middle, and wealth. And that's what Dr. Payne's book talks about. And I had a real aha moment after I read her book and went on and developed, and I had other researchers and evidence-based models that I had already knew about, Dr. Hawkins and Catalano, And Dr. Benson and a few others have written some extensive work in that whole area on intelligence quotients and stuff like that. So I put it all together and realized that there's a real disconnect between the classes. And we make a lot of erroneous assumptions because we think everybody else has what we have. And they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. Well,
there you go again, walking somebody else's shoes.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's really the key. Because you don't know what you don't know that a person, while you have work ethic, the other person doesn't, and you can't understand why they don't. What's wrong with them? Work ethic, see, a lot of this stuff is caught, not taught. Mm-hmm. Work ethic, for example, we all have work ethic because we had a mom and or a dad get up, get dressed, go to work every day.
Yeah.
So no one had to teach us that. No one had to tell us that. We saw it modeled in front of us day in and day out. Mm-hmm. But that kid whose mom goes to a mailbox once a month, gets a check, and then we eat good for the next 2 weeks, and then we're back to ketchup and mayonnaise sandwiches, well, where would we think that kid to get work ethic from?
Yeah, exactly.
We assume they do because we have it. So we'll say things like, what's wrong with you? Why are you late? Well, you don't have an alarm clock? What's your problem?
Mm-hmm.
We make these erroneous assumptions, and they're not based on truth.
Well, can you, you can't legislate empathy. Can you teach it? I guess it can be learned.
You can absolutely teach it because, see, there are what are called mental models. We all have them.
Mm-hmm.
We need to check ourselves and ask ourselves, why do I think the way I do? How did I come to that conclusion? What's that based on? What body of science, what facts are behind why I think the way I do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first step.
Mental health.
Being able to ask the question and come to terms with why you think the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you form your opinions? you know? And that's a lot. That will come right to the heart of the big...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Elephant in the room, racism.
Wow. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So where you had mentioned about evidence-based training. This is all, you're all very well educated as far as the field itself. But tell me why evidence-based training is so important to you.
Evidence-based training is absolutely critical because it's all about outcomes. We no longer have the time or the resources to try things to see if it works. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to put the money behind what we know, what the data, the science has proven works. And that's what we need to replicate, the things that we know have proven outcomes. It just makes perfect sense. Why throw hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars at something that you're not sure if it works or not?
And why are we putting so much money into putting a Band-Aid on the situation instead of preventing
it? Exactly. Wow. We need to be more proactive. We have the science. We have the data. We know how to be proactive. We don't have the will to be proactive.
Well, where does it have to get in society for us to, we get to the point, like, even with COVID.
The bottom line, Sylvia, are the decision makers. And it comes down to the Senate and the House at the state and at the federal levels. They have to be educated enough and have the will to make better decisions based on...
Do they care?
Huh?
Do they care? What's been your experience? You've gone through a number of administrations. I mean,
some really do care. Some don't care. Some, it's all about getting reelected in another couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
And some, for a lot of them, it's about, where are my votes coming from? And I have to make sure I take care of my base. It's all about the base. It's not about doing what's right for the country, what's right for the community, what's right for the larger, for the masses, quote unquote. The system is broken. It can be fixed, but it's each person has to be willing to check themselves and be willing to do the right thing simply because it's the right thing to do.
Well, first of all, in this society, it's going to take a while for people, because first of all, people don't want to admit when they're wrong, because they feel like they're vulnerable then, and nobody wants to be out of control. And there's so many things, but I'm sure you have a lot of stories about people with what they have, what they need, rather, have turned their lives around.
Oh, my goodness, no question, absolutely. And right here in my office, I've got many. Many. We're all successful reentrants here.
If you could speak to those...
There's a gentleman, for example, that I hired who was a juvenile lifer. By the way, Pennsylvania has the most juvenile lifers of any other state in the nation. At one time, we had just under 600, which means a young man, usually there were some young women too, but mostly young men under 18 who got sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
And that didn't have to happen.
Just under 600 of them. Well, one of them, I think it was 2015 or 16, the Supreme Court legislated that you cannot give life to a juvenile. So every state that had juvenile lifers had to retry them. And so Pennsylvania did, and this gentleman got out. And came to us as a mentee, needing a mentor, and before long, within a year, became a mentor, and now he's been on paid staff for a few years now, doing very well.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, we hear a lot of talk about how people are in prison that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. Sure.
Do you see that a lot?
I wouldn't necessarily say a lot. There are people that shouldn't have gotten, there's a lot of people, let me say, that shouldn't have gotten the sentences they received.
Mm-hmm.
That the sentences weren't just. And like I said before, I'm one of them. Because of disproportionate minority sentencing, because of disproportionate crack cocaine laws, I got 4 years in prison for two $20 rocks of crack cocaine. For $40 worth of crack cocaine. Two little rocks that could get lost in your hand. That's how small they were. I got 4 years in prison.
Wow.
That if that same amount was powder cocaine, the cop probably would have blew it on the ground and told me to go and stay out of trouble. But because it was crack and because I'm black, a whole nother thing occurred.
Do you truly feel that we have an issue? I know you had mentioned before about class, but is there an issue of racism in central Pennsylvania?
Oh, absolutely. Do you know that we have more hate groups than any other state? Registered hate groups in PA?
Oh, no, I did not. I'll tell you. What an education.
We have more registered hate groups in PA than any other state. Right here in good old central PA, too.
You also talked a little bit before we started our conversation to me about another distinction Pennsylvania has dealing with halfway houses, too. I don't think people know about that either.
Yeah, well, not just Pennsylvania, but actually right here in Dauphin County.
Yeah, in Dauphin County.
We have a disproportionate number of halfway houses here in Dauphin County. There's not another county, except for maybe Philadelphia County, that has more halfway houses than we do. So then we have an inordinate number of men and women getting out of prison, coming to here to reenter society. And many of them, as they've told me personally, want to stay here because they don't want to go back to Philadelphia, oftentimes where they came from, because that's where their triggers are. That's where their issues are. And they want to start a fresh life. So they're sent here by the DOC because of the halfway houses that are here, and then they want to stay. Well, the reentry services are inept here in Dauphin County. They're just not enough of them to go around.
I'm just going to ask you, is that one of the main reasons you started your different type of training for people, for social workers that are dealing with this issue?
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's one of the big reasons, because I knew that people really needed this training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the different trainings that we provide. We have a mentoring 101 training. We have the cracking the class code. We have grant writing training. We have a lot of different. Matter of fact, we started a whole separate website, a training website called SCSTA, Sound Community Solutions Training Academy. And we're making all of our trainings virtual now, because of the pandemic. Several of our trainings are already virtual, but a person can go online and get access to the training. Because people need to be aware of the issues and some of the potential solutions.
Exactly. And whether you're dealing with the justice system or whether you're dealing with other issues that eventually end up as part of the justice system, your training is for a lot of these issues, specific issues.
Yes.
And that's what's so great about it. And a lot of times they cross over each other. But
sure,
the thing is to get a handle on them, that even if you're not, you know, if someone doesn't have they're not recognized as someone who eventually end up in jail, here's a good way to grab them and straighten that out. You know, dealing with young people like that, how important are mentors? I know they pretty much have an idea.
A mentor is absolutely critical. I personally have had three men walking with me through this journey called life for over 20 years now. I can say it's made a huge difference in me making better decisions today. Mm-hmm. Again, because what I said earlier, so much of what we do and how we think is caught and not taught. Somebody needs to model the behavior for you. Sylvia, you wouldn't imagine how many young men have sat across my desk, and I call everybody young. I'm 66. But both of the two that I'm thinking of specifically, which were both within 6 months of each other last year, sat across from my desk and said, "Mr. Vladimir, I don't know what it is to be a man. I've never had one in my life."
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, you can't teach how to be a man. You're not going to find that in a book. You need to watch another man do what they do, how they treat their wives, how they talk to their wives, how they do this, how they do that, how they interact, how they go and interact in the bank. All those little things, that's how you learn.
I was talking to somebody the other day about relationships, a young person about relationships, and they said to me, I said, "You know what you need to do? Go find somebody that you admire, a couple that you know has a good marriage."
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
You know, but we don't even know. We don't even think to tell our kids to do those things because nobody told us.
Right. Unfortunately, that's the truth. You have to often learn the hard way.
Yeah, but, you know, that's how you get ingrained in you. We're running out of time. There's so much more I wanted to talk to you about, and I'd like to come back soon. But I also want to, besides the training, I think this is wonderful, and I'll be sharing this with a lot of people, your grant services, your nonprofit, because you offer really reasonable rates on not only the trainings, but people out there, you know, it's people who don't understand, they'll say to a nonprofit, "We'll get money from the government." Well, first of all, the grants that are out there are limited. Then you have thousands of organizations applying for the same money. And then you've got to have somebody that knows what they're doing and how to write something. And you also have to know, first thing is, okay, who has money out there that I can apply for? And you do that service. And I think that's great.
Yes. Well, you know, we had to go through it ourselves and learn. And now we can share our expertise with others as we've done. Absolutely. I've helped many individuals become entrepreneurs, start 501c3 nonprofit organizations. But one of the things, and I'll just want to, you know, we can wrap up with this, is that I've never wanted to allow the funding to get in the way of a person getting the service that they need. I didn't want the money to be the issue. Unfortunately, in so many places it is. I've seen wonderful programs shut down because the money dried up.
Yeah.
To the extent that we can here at SCS, we've often provided services at no charge.
Just listening to them debate about this the virus package in Congress, and I think to myself, none of those people have any clue what it's like to go without. And
that's
on top of that, that's my money you're using. That's my money that I pay in my taxes.
Right.
I want it back, you know, because I need some of it now. And I've been paying for everybody else for years.
How about that?
Well, you know what? We'll be talking again soon, but I want to thank you. You're incredible what you're doing out there. And experience, as you said before, that's everything. So we have to pay attention to that. My guest today is Vladimir Bopi. He's the founder and president of an organization known as Sound Community Solutions. What's your contact number and your email, or your, not your email, your website address there?
Website is scsinc.org. SCS Sound Community Solutions, scsinc.org.
We can be reached at 717-961-9740. And you can always contact me, as I say all the time. Can't reach my guest, get a hold of me. And if you're unable to listen to my show when it airs on our various iHeart stations, go to the iHeart podcast page and type in Insight with Sylvia Moss. If you want to contact me, it's Sylvia Moss, that's M-A-U-S, at iHeartMedia.com. Thank you for listening, and please stay safe.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.